and the grass won't pay no mind. No, the grass won't pay no mind.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. Please email me questions at BruceSalin.com or follow me on Twitter. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMenCoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMenCoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
It's a pleasure, Bruce.
So I was asking you how you'd like to approach today's segment, and I was remembering that, like myself, you have now survived both your parents. So to a degree, you are the senior patron or padre of your family.
But I barely survived my mother.
But you did.
Yes, I did.
And I lived through some of that with you, as you lived through some of my surviving my mother with me. So we both know the pain of those sort of declines. And I guess the real question I have for you, and most people don't realize that this is a live show and you and I do not rehearse. So you're going to hear this question for the first time. In the article, I referenced how I was starting to get to know and love my new in-laws. In my case, it's new in-laws. You have old in-laws.
Yes.
And I was starting to view them and look at them as, well, wait, I do have an extended family. It's my wife's family. So, given that your folks are gone, I don't know if your wife's parents are still around, but I'd be curious, you know, how you view that side of the family.
Well, I'm close to my mother-in-law. She's a doll.
Good, good. So she's obviously still around. That's
yes.
I'm happy to hear.
Yeah, and my father-in-law passed 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship there was never what I think anyone would have wanted. But when you talk about family, having come from a dysfunctional family,
mm-hmm.
and not having relationships with my eldest brother, and you know, just having been born into a history that, you know, that was in motion before I came, and patterns that were set before I came, you know, it's not the family I wished I had come from,
mm-hmm.
that I wish I had had, and that's true for a lot of people, and so we have to make our way and create what we need. And for many of us, it's about creating a family that may not be blood, but serves the purpose. You know, the closeness, the intimacy, the support. And so, for me, I have a very small blood family for many reasons on both sides of my family, but my family is large. Because of the relationships that I've developed with, especially the men in my life.
Well, you have made a very serious effort to bring men into your life and encourage other men to do the same. But the first part of what you said just brings to mind that old saying that we don't choose our family,
right.
but we can choose our friends.
Right.
And obviously you had no choice into the family you were born. But you certainly have a lot of choice as to how much you continue to interact with that family,
yes.
and who you bring into your newly extended family in the form of friends.
Yes, and in terms of dealing with the existing family, whether it's your family or in-laws, there's an opportunity and there's a lot of work that can be done. And I encourage everyone to do it. You know, whatever those obstacles might be to having that loving relationship that you'd like to have with your sibs, your parents, your in-laws, you should go for it. You should ask for help. You should try to see if you could make it all or some of what you'd like. But I can say from experience, and having experienced the lives of a lot of men over the years, that sometimes those efforts don't get us the results that we'd like. And at some point, you have to accept that and allow it to be and then move on, rather than getting stuck in the frustration, resentment, and anger of not being able to achieve that goal.
Yeah, it comes back to Einstein's favorite quote about insanity.
That's, well, and it can really make you insane if you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. Now, sometimes, I mean, let me just say this, sometimes we have to do the same things over and over again in our relationships until trust is built and we do get a different result. So it's not always true it could make us feel insane, but certainly we're the only ones who can make that decision. We're the only ones who could say, you know what, I think I've done my best, I've done everything I can, and I have to just accept this for what it is. And sometimes accepting will mean a minimal sort of relationship, and then sometimes it might mean no relationship at all.
Well, as you've often talked about during the years that I was in men's group, it's the context you bring to situations and relationships that really makes a difference. With my own wife, she often would come back from visiting her parents in a bad mood. And we discussed this a lot, and it was very clear that she had certain expectations of wanting a different result from her family as to how they interacted and how she fit in the whole dynamic of the family. And I learning from you and other work I've done like that, I really worked hard at explaining to her, honey, go up there with none of those expectations. If something good in that regard happens, wonderful. But go up there simply for the joy and the pleasure of being with your alive mother and father. And because I had already lost my parents, there was a degree of envy I felt. They're there, and yet you've got them in your life, but you're coming back unhappy. So change the context, and I think it's helped her a bit.
Yes. Now, all I would say is that's good help, good support. It's easy for us to see into our spouses' lives and to see what they're doing right and wrong and what the possibilities are. But it's difficult if we push too hard around that. And we all have to come to that place ourselves, you know, when it becomes so painful that we're forced to make a choice. And most of the time, when it's your family, you have a higher tolerance for that pain.
Yes,
than
yes.
Your spouse has.
Yes, that's a very wise point.
And so it's tough. You know, we tend to try to be our spouse's coach or therapist, right. Counselor sometimes, and it's a different timeline.
Well, in that regard, I have learned that the better part of valor is to keep my mouth shut.
Around. Well, I've been trying to tell you that for years.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean about all things, but
I
meant related to my wife's family.
Indeed.
With my first wife, I made a faux pas early on that I was never forgiven from. I mean, it was absurd. And it turns out that was a familial pattern, that you cross a line once and you're never given a second chance, which was a part of that family's dysfunction. I did not recognize that or was not advised of that and crossed the line and for 12 years was never really had a good relationship with him.
Right.
You
marry your in-laws.
Yes, you do.
And that's not, that doesn't always go well.
Well, I'm happy to say, and part of what I wrote in the column Generations is that I did bring a different context to my last visit with my in-laws. And as a result, I feel so much closer to them, and in fact grateful that I have them. They're not my own mom and dad, and they'll never replace my own mom and dad, but they feel a little bit like my mom and dad. They feel a little bit like that senior generation is still around, and I don't have to be the senior member of my family, because my family does include them too. So I that was a good breakthrough for me, and I was sort of avoiding contact with them and say, you just go up and visit, and I'll stay home. And I don't think I'll do that anymore, because they do have a limited number of years left, and I want to enjoy them just like my wife should.
That's good. And that change of context is an important piece of information for any situation, any relationship. What power do we have to change that relationship if we change the context, meaning what we're thinking about, where we're coming from before we see them in anticipation of a visit? It's so powerful when we do change our context. And most people don't realize it, but wherever you go, every moment of the day, you carry a context with you. And that affects everything you say and do and everyone around you. When you become conscious of that, you might see that you have the power to change what might not be a satisfactory situation to one that can be quite good.
Well, I would agree with you totally. I have to add that I would heartily encourage you to re-look at your context of how you relate with me and realize that I have so much more to offer you than you tend to think.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, sometimes you just have to cut off relationships completely.
All right. On that note, I'll say goodbye since we're out of time. And you can briefly, before I just cut you off, tell people where they might find you.
BetterManCoaching.com, and you can get my book, Hold On To Your Nuts, in audio form on audible.com, and there's a link on my site. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sands.
Never back up, but I saw him crying like a little whip pup because of love. Can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind, it covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man.